settled for battle. Saddle for battle. Look, folks, it's not going to happen the way you think. At least that's what I believe. And that's the title of this program. It's not going to come down the way you think. It really isn't, because the globalists that are in power are 50, 40, 50, 60 moves ahead of us. And we have to recognize that. But we also have to recognize their impotence in the face of our God. And our God is the God of the Holy Bible, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And of course, our God is not the same as the God, as the moon God of Islam. And we have to be strong enough to realize that. Before we kick off this particular segment of the show, I do want to, a couple of housekeeping items, and I'm going to kick it over to Joe. A couple of housekeeping items. Did you catch us? What did you do Friday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time? Were you by a television set? Were you by a TV? Were DirecTV Channel 367? Did you catch us on The Coming Apocalypse? Yeah, that's right. Joe and I were in Indianapolis, Indiana, the week before last, taping a segment with Paul Bagley on The Coming Apocalypse, and it aired Friday at 11:30. It got good reviews. The audience clapped, and the audience here at the studio actually clapped at 11:30 that evening. We had some people in to watch it, because we do have the cable running for the news channels here into the studio. They loved it. Eric said, yeah, it was all right. Eric the tech. He said, you know, you could have done a little better. And then he said something to the effect of, cameras really do add weight, don't they? Anyway. So anyway, I just want to mention, Joe and I are going to be on again, The Coming Apocalypse Part 2, this coming Friday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I had the time wrong last time. Sorry about that. 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Pastor Paul Bagley, his wife Heidi, what gracious hosts they were, and what a great program. You're going to be hearing more about that show, that channel, that network, that station, and those segments. You're going to be hearing more about that. Trust me when I tell you that. The Coming Apocalypse with Pastor Paul Bagley. And folks, Heidi Bagley's book. Oh my goodness, Finding My Father. It moved me to tears, and that's not an exaggeration, it really did. Heidi Bagley is one of the finest people I know. And after meeting her and talking with her, I mean, she's just such a precious woman, as is Pastor Paul Bagley. What a great guy. And what a dynamic team they are. So, that's, number one, The Coming Apocalypse, Channel 367 on DirecTV, and as well as other markets, okay? I think close to 2 million viewers. 2 million viewers. I just, what happened? We just had our prompter, but our stuff just went off here.
The signs been flashing on the screen there.
Oh, all right.
Intermittently, I don't know.
Gotcha.
It comes on every 5, 10
minutes. I'm looking at different monitors, okay? And it just seemed like we had a blackout. But anyway, all right. Tomorrow, folks, John Moore. What a great guy. You know John Moore, the former homicide detective, talk show host now on Republic Broadcast Network (RBN). Maybe on his show from 9 to 10 tomorrow morning, talking about my book Stained by Blood. I just want to say thank you for everyone who did purchase that book and my book and who's said how much they've enjoyed it. Which brings me to another point. So tomorrow between 9 and 10 Eastern Time, John Moore. I'll be on with John Moore tomorrow, talking about Stained by Blood, giving you information about really what went into not just the book, but what really went into the investigation. And I try to give a little bit more and more out each time. But with John, John being the homicide detective, he said, I really don't read murder mysteries because I don't like to relive my work experience. But he said it was, when I read the book, it was like I was working again, at work again. So he gave me a good review on that. I was with Russ Dizdar this weekend, and all I can say, folks, is wow. That's my go-to word. People know that. I would urge everybody that can, to support Russ Dizdar's work. That's all I'm going to say. Russ is a great guy. By the way, he's going to turn 60 at the end of this month. Did you know that? Another birthday. He doesn't look 60. He could bench lift like a VW, I'm sure. Okay. He was sitting at our conference table, and man, Lady, or the studio dog, was here. I brought Lady with me to meet him, and met some of his team, and what a great guy. But the work he's doing is so incredibly important, working with law enforcement, the stuff that's coming out. Follow Russ Dizdar very closely, because we're going to be fighting on that level that Russ is fighting on, the spiritual level. We already are, but Black Awakening is his book. I suggest everyone go to his website, shatterthedarkness.net, and give him some early birthday wishes, but also really, really support his work, a very important work. So the last thing I want to mention as well, we have received many of your emails at studio@hagmanandhagman.com with writing samples and such. We're going through them. You'll be notified. You're going to be getting an email. Thank you so much for your interest. Man, some of you guys are like really good. I mean, real better than us. A lot better than us. Thank you for your writing samples, or for your exposés, your the information that you've given us to be a part of the Hagman Report editorial team. But as we get into this time that we're entering into, a very dangerous time, folks, remember, saddle for battle. Be a Christian, but don't be a wimp. And when I was talking to Russ, Joe, we were talking about different scenarios that he was faced with, and we got to talking, and I love the man. I mean, he gave me a hug. I think he broke a couple of my ribs, but because, you know, his biceps are the size of, like, you know, hams. Anyway, we were talking about, as Christians, encountering violence. And he looked in my eyes. Actually, I can't do it the way he did it. But he was sitting at the conference table, and he bent over like this, and he said, I've already come to terms with this, Doug. If I have to, if somebody's coming in to murder my family or murder me, I'm taking them out. And I said, so you're not, like, you know, you're not going to have to take it to the Lord as they're coming through the door, or your wife is being ravaged. No. To me, now, the only reason I mention that is because we've had some spirited discussion about that on this program. And I truly believe, as Christians, we have to stop being wimps. Stop being wimps. Let's not be wimps. Our enemies aren't wimps. We can't be wimps. And Joe, one last thing I want to ask you, or I want to tell you too, about this. We have Greg Jackson coming on. I spoke to him briefly today, as I mentioned. It's going to be an important program. Has he given you the information what he's going to be talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What's that? Because this is not going to be a typical Greg Jackson program.
The wording that we use.
Yeah.
And the wording we shouldn't use.
That's right. Things like homosexual marriage. There is no such thing. Where in the English language, in the lexicon, did that come from? Gay as a reference to the homosexual sodomites. What are you laughing at, Eric? Mic up. Go ahead, mic up. Yeah. Folks, and we have a good time doing this program as well. And I want to thank you for your support. Let's get into the news. Hillary Rodham, Diane Rodham, the witch, Clinton, the State Department. Is that where you want to go?
Yeah, we can start there.
Did you see this? Man, if this doesn't tell the tale, a minute or a 30-second clip. This is the Hillary, well, the former Hillary Clinton State Department, but nonetheless, the State Department under the Obama regime. Did you see this clip? You talk about in-your-face globalists laughing at... See, we always said, we've been saying for the last couple of years, They're laughing at you. And here it is, folks. They're laughing at you. Here's a clip. Go ahead and play Tract 1, the State Department.
Anyway, welcome to the State Department. I think we have some interns in the back. Welcome. Good to see you in this exercise and transparency and democracy.
Is that what it is?
Sorry,
I thought it was an exercise, in spin and obfuscation.
All right, can you tell this is my last briefing before vacation? Okay.
Whoa! I don't know. What an echo! So how about that? How in your face, Joe, does that have to be? They're laughing at you. They're laughing at us. Nothing is as it seems. It's all this false reality. Yeah, the transparency. My butt, there is no transparency. And if you're not angry at this, you're not paying attention. If this isn't, you're just not paying attention. So, this goes back to Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton, selling or giving, supporting, and Obama supporting ISIS, arming ISIS, to which the mainstream media said, well, no, that's not really the case. And even some of the conservatives saying, you know, Charles Krauthammer saying, I don't believe that to be the... That's a terrible impression, but... pick a conservative on the Fox News to keep a seat at the table of the of relevance there.
What's going on today? WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has released and confirmed information that Hillary sold weapons to ISIS as she was serving as Secretary of State inside the State Department. Also, the Political Insider reported in Obama's second term, the Secretary of State Clinton authorized the shipment of American-made arms to Qatar, a country beholden to the Muslim Brotherhood and friendly to the Libyan rebels, in an effort to topple the Libyan Gaddafi government and ship those arms to Syria in order to fund al-Qaeda to topple Assad in Syria. Clinton took the lead role in organizing the so-called Friends of Syria, al-Qaeda/ISIS, to back the CIA-led insurgency for regime change in several countries in the Middle East. Under oath, Hillary Clinton denied she knew about the weapons shipment in her 2013 public testimony in front of Congress about the Benghazi terror attacks. In an interview with Democracy Now!, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange is now stating that 1,700 emails contained in the Clinton cache directly connect Hillary Clinton to Libya, Syria, and the ISIS terrorists.
Is that 1,700 or 17,000? Because
The 1,700 contained Clinton cache directly connecting her to Libya and Syria.
All right.
And funding ISIS.
So we told you this back in right after Benghazi, the attack at Benghazi happened. We told you that this operation, they were funding and funneling weapons into Syria to topple Syria. This is a proxy war between the United States and Russia, and people said, prove it. Well, how do you prove intelligence that is given? I mean, we got this from an intelligence source. Remember? And people said, oh, that's BS. Your sources are BS. Prove it. Well, now it's coming to pass. 3 years later.
Breitbart has a headline up, as well as many others do. And this one has a special spin on it. The AP says, and if you go to the Associated Press website and just look at election news, that they have a box with five stories in them. They're all about how bad Trump is. Trump says this. Trump manipulates facts to fit his agenda. Trump says or tries to blame an Iranian nuclear scientist's death on Clinton emails. Well, even the former head of Blackwater, Eric Prince, says Hillary Clinton very likely caused the deaths of the Iranian nuclear scientist. Former Navy SEAL and Blackwater CEO Eric Prince addressed the controversy surrounding Obama's $400 million secret payment to Iran on Monday's edition of the Breitbart News, also on Sirius XM with host Stephen Bannon. And he went on to say, when you have the aircraft holding on deck in Iran, pilots, their crew there, filled up everything waiting for the fee to arrive. The administration, of course, doesn't do it in dollars because that would be another violation of federal law, so they use euros and Swisses, once again paying Iran off for the American hostages. Then they go into other details about the treasure trove of information that was left out in the open on Hillary Clinton's private email server. And but part of this has to do
with... We're still going through these, folks.
There's actually a keyword search function you can use to go through all the State Department emails that were publicly released so far. And WikiLeaks still say that they're holding...
They're holding some in reserve. They are. But we're going through
coming out.
So as we go through these emails, we're going through every single one. And it's a little difficult. I find it a little bit cumbersome to go through these emails because a lot of them are, you know how you begin email threads. Okay. So some of these emails are, part of larger threads, and you've got to go back to the source and then follow through as the discussion and the emails continue. So we personally here at the Hagman Studio even have Eric the Tech going through as well. And, of course, my daughter is going through them. We've got the dog, Lady the Studio Dog. She's got her paws all over them. Of course, a little help there, but she's part of it. Go on.
Well, they're linking a Iranian scientist execution.
Yes.
To the information inside the Hillary Clinton emails. And, folks, if you go to Breitbart, there's a lot of different websites that are reporting, this today. And, I mean, we can talk about Clinton and what she's done and her Muslim Brotherhood connections, as well as what Trump is doing, because they are both the head nominations for the Democrat and Republican Party in the upcoming election. And there's a lot of shenanigans going on with the media. One of the articles that I like, or I read today that I thought was good, was Clinton versus Trump. No, it's the media versus America. Because you see how everything, I mean, they're trying to do everything they can to discredit Donald Trump and what he has been doing in his nomination and to beat Hillary Clinton. They've been spinning that. Even Fox News continues to play the narrative that they're trying to remove Trump. The GOP is trying to remove Trump from being the nominee and replace him with somebody else. And as I said in earlier shows, this is either the best and most well-played psyop in American history, which is trying to throw Trump to the wolves to make it look like they can't stand him, from the media to the elite actually wanting him to get the nomination, or they really do hate him this much.
Well, I think that, again, the title of this program, It's Not Going to Happen the Way You Think It Is, look at, like you said, look at how Hillary is being portrayed in the media. Okay,
mm-hmm. She's even being churches.
Yes.
Black pastors are breaking the law to get Hillary Clinton elected. Nearly a third of churchgoers say they've heard clergy support from the pulpit in the past few months for Hillary Clinton, which is illegal for churches to do with the 501c3 status.
Right. And of course, the 501c3 was established, and folks, you've really got to know history. It was established by Lyndon Johnson in his Senate run back in Texas in 1949, I believe it was. But it was just to shut up his opponent because he was losing in the polls, and it was important for Johnson to get. So you've got to understand what the 501c3 restrictions are. But that said, yes, you've got the evangelical black Christian churches actually pumping or pimping for Clinton, Hillary. On the other hand, you've got this perception that Hillary is both fragile and frail and has, you know, the cough. Okay, now
she has the medical issues.
Now, she's got a lot of medical issues.
What they're doing is they're spinning this saying, because there was a photo on Drudge today, but the photo was not recent, and when I say recent, it was from earlier this year. It was from February, I believe.
Right, but it's still relevant.
But there is a pattern of something being wrong with her, from her coughing fits to her apparent seizures. Now, there are articles out there saying that, you know, Trump and other media outlets are manipulating facts. They call it junk science and manipulation to try to make it look like she has a mental problem, that she's unfit to be president. Now, you got to remember, she's almost 70 years old. I think she's 68.
Watch it now.
And she is not in good health.
Well, but look, Trump is...
Yeah, he's older.
Same age,
yeah,
roughly. I think a year or two older. But okay, so you've got, but here's
he
how
he give a speech without, you know, being interrupted,
right,
with a look of terror or confusion or panic or seizure, like, or coughing fits, or,
okay,
you know, all these other things we see.
Well, but the press right now, and this is why I believe the appropriateness of the title of tonight's show. You've got this Tavistockian mindset saying, all right, Hillary Clinton, unfit physically and perhaps mentally, using the words a short circuit when talking about her brain.
She said that, yeah.
Yeah, her words, having to be helped up the stairs. Judy McLeod, Canada Free Press today, of course, has just a fantastic article, Secret Service dragging Clinton train wreck across the finish line. Of course, the same Secret Service agent, and the same image that was on the cover of Drudge, the same black Secret Service agent assisting Hillary in this image up the stairs is the same Secret Service agent who apparently had administered by way of a pen-like injection of diazepam or a benzo inhibitor.
It's this anti-seizure diazepam pen for patients who experience recurrent seizures. Folks, right. If you go to the Gateway Pundit, there's photos here, and the article starts off, in recent bizarre events on the campaign trail, a strange man was noticed at Hillary Clinton's side. And this man has not just recently come into the picture when dealing with Hillary Clinton. When she was released from the hospital in 2013 from her apparent blood clot, this man was in the front seat of the car, as Bill Clinton was in the back, as well as Hillary was. So they have a history together, and we've heard about the disdain for Secret Service agents that she has.
And Joe, you brought that, the blood clot up from the alleged fall. Okay, I want to just revisit this, because we had spoken about this, and I'm not sure if we spoke about this publicly, but we have information that there was a hard landing, that Hillary Clinton did not get her head injury from a fall at her home. It was from a hard landing where she hit her head on the top of the State Department jet during a trip during the Iranian talks. I believe it might have been a trip to either Qatar or to Tehran. When she was out of the country. Now, why is that important? Because she is obviously, if our information is accurate, she was attempting to negotiate some sort of a deal outside of the norm, outside of what the Congress and the people of America would allow or would permit, as it came to Iran nuclear capabilities. But that's, just keep that in the back of your mind, because I think more is going to be coming out about that. So you've got the fragility of Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton, and then of course you've got the same media questioning the mental and physical, or mental capability or the mental health. Is Donald Trump, is he okay to be, can he lead? He's too impulsive. He's too, he's unhinged.
Well, he's manipulating the facts for his own arguments.
Right.
And to the point where he's even cut off in telling the truth. And when we come back from this segment, we'll show a 1 minute clip where he actually pinpoints the truth that Hillary Clinton, was behind this, the foundation and starting of ISIS.
Yes.
Where ABC literally cuts him off in the middle of a live speech, puts their logo on it like they lost sound or something.
And you're going to be seeing more and more, and I've been seeing more of this. Oh, we've gotten cut off. Oh, we lost, so-and-so.
And there's an article out of the Los Angeles Times that asks, why are the rules of journalism being rewritten this election year? And that's a very good question.
Very good question. Very appropriate to the topic at hand. And so all of this. So it's not going to go down, I don't believe it's going to happen the way you think it's going to happen, because everyone's looking for some sort of meteoric strike of something coming in and being the cause, this disaster. We're watching the disaster unfold. We're watching the orchestrated takedown of this country. You know, people want to know when the, like, they're expecting like a 2001 moment or a 2008 moment. No, it's death by a thousand cuts. It's, we are right now watching the takedown of this country. And I think it's so important to understand what you're expecting may not be what the reality is. And certainly the perception, Joe, you mentioned this, the again, looking at Hillary Clinton, there's a very fine line between having, you know, feeling sorry for her and then questioning her physical ability to govern the nation. Same with Donald Trump. There's a fine line between him being outspoken, brash, and to the point, which is refreshing for Americans, and being a little unhinged. Oh, we can't have this guy. How would he deal with Putin? Do you think it could be another, you know, could he
is he a Russian plan?
Ah, man, you know. Yes, so it's all over the board. So you perception is being, we're being gamed, and perception is being manipulated.
And you don't hear about the Communist Party supporting Hillary Clinton in the mainstream media.
Oh,
you don't,
yeah,
hear about the constant crimes she's committed. And if we were going to put this in a court of law, you could use her past, all of her lies, her crimes, and her fragility, even.
Yes.
Is this the kind of leader you want in this country?
Yes.
Folks, we'll be right back after this. Stay with us. We got a lot more to cover.
Ah.
Zika virus in Florida.
And JD's at ground zero there. Talk to him today. Yeah, you know, another knife attack, this time in Belgium, well, again in Belgium, another knife attack, machete attack. Wait, this guy was of Turkish origin. Okay, that's Orwellian speak for, hey, the guy's a Muslim. But you know that the machete attack against the victims. Well, What can we say about this? You know what? It sounds like mental illness to me. This is the new narrative now. It's mental illness. It's not, you know, the Allahu Akbar and a machete attack, of course, in Germany against a pregnant woman and others. Now, Belgium, I believe this is the second one in Belgium, happened over the weekend. A machete wielding man spotted in the area. Well, police detained the suspect, who is said to be of, and I quote, Turkish origin. Huh. Yeah, Allahu Akbar, I guess that is signs of a mental illness. You go on the sewage pit known as Democratic Underground. That's where all the communists and Fabian socialists and mentally retarded, that's the proper usage of that word, mentally retarded now, morons go to commiserate with respect to the truth. Of course, yeah, sounds like mental illness. Now, should we have a ban on machetes? Is that what we need to do? Or maybe we need to cast the net wider for people with mental illnesses. Because obviously there's a lot of mental illness around, especially with people with machetes. Yeah. Going after and shouting Allahu Akbar. And of course, the Pope now, the Pope saying, wait a second, this is not a religious war. The Jesuit that he is, it's important to understand it, because Jesuits know war. This is not a religious war. This is an economic one. And he said that, of course, I'm paraphrasing it, and of course, how things go. But, you know, as Trump sees it, well, Can we possibly get, Joe, let me ask you this, can we possibly get a full complete sentence out of Donald Trump, or at least his idea of how things are going into the mainstream media before they unceremoniously pull the plug and say, oh, technical trouble, we lost them? Huh.
You know,
they've done this to many people. Go
it's
on.
It's funny, we're talking about the Clinton, Hillary Clinton potential illness. And the media comes out and says, oh, they're, you know, this is junk science and you're spinning truth and spinning facts. And there's an interesting article on Fox News today. Revolt on the right. Commenters bash Trump in psychiatric terms.
Yes.
And it goes through this laundry list of pundits from Charles Krauthammer to Billy Crystal of,
You gotta love him, right?
To David Brooks in the New York Times saying he's showing, you know, compulsions and you gotta have, his speech patterns are like something straight out of a psychiatric textbook, David Brooks says. And, you know, they continue in this article to show how much that these people from the GOP hate Donald Trump. So much, though, they say when the...
they're,
you know,
wackadoodles,
what does the, man. When the left criticizes them, it's not even half as bad as when the right criticizes them. And who needs liberals when your own side hates you so much?
There you go. And that, may I add, you've got such hatred by the establishment Republicans who hate Donald Trump for... or speaking the mind. See, Donald Trump is really kind of a wild card. He can't be corralled or hasn't been able to be corralled so far. Although, and I was talking to JD this morning about this, our creative evangelist this morning about this, I said, you know what really disappointed me? And by the way, I did let this be known to the Trump campaign. Not that they listened to me. I mean, but I said, I was really disappointed that Trump had endorsed Paul Ryan. Really? Why would he do that? And JD said, did you see the way he endorsed Paul Ryan? And I said, yeah, I did. He said, that reminds me of when you talk about, and I'm not going to say what he said, okay? And I thought to myself, yeah, maybe there's a method to his particular madness on this one. I don't know. Maybe he was, I'm not going to second guess him, but I was disappointed when he, I don't know how you feel about it, but I thought, man, that was not good. But what about ABC cutting off Donald Trump just when it began getting good? What do you think? Let's cue up clip number 3, ABC from Sunday, I believe it is.
You see what's happening with the police. You see what's happening with... Take a look at Orlando. Take a look at San Bernardino. Take a look at the World Trade Center. Take a look at what's going on. And then worldwide. And we let ISIS take this position. It was Hillary Clinton that she should get an award from them as the founder of ISIS. That's what it... Then on television this weekend, Hillary Clinton, in asking, she's asked a pretty simple question. Anybody could have answered it. And she lied.
Now, folks, all right, folks, if you really want to get the full visual on that, you're going to have to go to YouTube to find Trump cut off by ABC. Because it's really something. He's in the middle of saying Hillary Clinton needs an award from ISIS for starting ISIS. And as soon as he's done saying that, this ABC logo with their, you know, interruption music comes across the stream or screen. And then the picture comes back about 10 seconds before the audio does. And you see the crowd sitting there cheering. Well, this is happening much more frequently. It's not only happening on ABC, it's happening on even on CNN. And there's a good video or a good article on InfoWars about this. And this shows the video also. ABC cuts live stream when Trump starts talking about Hillary Clinton's support for ISIS. And then it points out other examples where this has happened in the past. And if you go on to the last month, the CNN reporter... Mrs. Keller began talking about Hillary Clinton's support for anti-crime legislation in the 90s, which contributed to the mass incarceration of black people, and then the videos immediately cut. This is part of a pattern. people getting cut off in the middle of talking. You know, we've seen it when people mention the words Jesus Christ on the news.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Now, so, this ties right in. I mean, this ties right in with the fact that even CNN had a report that ISIS had captured a cache of weaponry in Afghanistan, in the Nangarhar district of Afghanistan, I believe it was. And there were photos distributed by ISIS, their media outlet, depicting loads of ammunition, fabric packs, and possibly a shoulder fired rocket launcher of the type used by U.S. forces. And, of course, CNN said, well, we're not sure. The Pentagon said, well, you know, we don't think it was ours. We don't know if it was ours. You know, meanwhile, Made in the USA stamped right on it. And, of course, you know, the yellow or the blue dot, like, that was used in William Kennedy Smith, moving over that to try to hide that, blocking that Made in the USA, so to keep the Pentagon, clear. But the fact of the matter is, arming ISIS, when we left Afghanistan, we left the keys in the ignition of the Humvees. We left the loaded rocket launchers for them, and we left the ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
And they're lying about it. And you saw the clip from earlier. If you want to recue that clip, clip one from the State Department, if you want to do that, Eric the Tech, and folks, watch this again. For those just joining the program, watch this. And if you're not insulted by this, if you're not angered by this, you're not paying attention. This is what they think of you. This is what they think of us. This is the new normal here. Go ahead and play clip one.
Anyway, welcome to the State Department. I think we have some interns in the back. Welcome. Good to see you in this exercise in transparency and democracy.
Is that what it is?
Sorry,
I thought it was an exercise in, in spin and obfuscation.
All right. Can you tell us my last briefing before vacation?
All right. In my estimation, in my personal opinion, I should say, there's not enough rope, not enough trees. You fill in the rest. Because they're laughing at you, they're laughing at us. Joe, we've armed ISIS. When I say we, the government, this regime armed ISIS. They created ISIS. And here we are. And they're laughing, saying, oh, yeah, this is a, you know, this is a really big transparency thing, and laughing at you.
Yeah, and we mentioned a Los Angeles Times piece. This, you can find this on the New American, about a journalist named Justin Raimondo, who writes that to fight Trump, journalists have dispensed with objectivity. And then he asks, why are the rules of journalism being rewritten this election year? And he gives examples of how the media present out-of-context Trump statements to cover up things that are true. And then they go back and give examples, even showing outright collusion between the media and the Democratic operatives, from DNC emails published by WikiLeaks revealing the stunning level of collaboration between important media outlets and the Democrats. Former DNC chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz sought to silence NBC's Mika Brzezinski, who had found fault with the DNC's role in the primaries. The emails have headlines like, "This must stop." Incredibly, NBC's Chuck Todd agreed to act as a go-between, even arranging a call between Wasserman, Schultz, and Brzezinski, which raises the question, why was a major media figure taking his marching orders from the Democratic Party chair, and how did this affect the network's coverage of the Trump campaign? And it goes on to give examples of how media rules aren't being rewritten. Written long ago, they're more devoutly embraced with each seceding media degeneration. And they go and give examples from Dan Rather's career ended when it was discovered he peddled forged documents purporting to show George W. Bush had got out of his duties at the Texas Air National Guard. There was, in 2010, a journalist scandal involving online meeting place in which journalists would conspire to slant the news that proved not all media was biased and all media bias was unintentional. It talks about the statistics from the media gradually report stories of police shootings of black criminal suspects despite the occurrences having declined 75% in the last two decades, while the police not only shoot more white people, according to studies, but such these events are being widely publicized, leading to the illusion that blacks are under an assault and creating racial unrest. They go on to talk about in 2012 how heavily Dr. George Zimmerman 911 calls were described as malicious. They did a cut-and-paste job to make him appear bigoted. And these are just a few examples of everyday media bias. And what I would point out is the Trump, his wife, and the immigration stuff they're talking about. Like she, her illegal status is some kind of major breach of U.S. law when they're literally shipping them in, flying immigrants in, and giving amnesty to all of them. There is no more illegal immigration because the Border Patrol is told not to enforce it. ICE was told to stand down. Obama has rewritten the immigration laws. He lost the case to the Supreme Court, and he's trying to go back and ask them to do another ruling on it in his favor instead of not in his favor. You know, but she's an immigrant. Oh, my gosh. You know, he's a criminal. It's just this constant media spin from taking what Trump said out of context. But then you have the Center for Center for Medical Progress. You know, their journalism was stopped by Planned Parenthood because they say they edited videos when they didn't edit any videos.
And this that's is a not
constant media assault on the American people on an everyday basis.
I just want to jump in here about that. The Center for Medical Progress, you know, it just really gnaws at me. I mean, it you talk about, it just burns my chops when you've got, self-professed Christians taking to task the Center for Medical Progress because they went undercover and, to uncover this mass slaughter, this baby parts selling, enterprise by Planned Parenthood, the wholesale slaughter of babies. And you've got a couple of people that, a couple of Christians out there, or a handful, or maybe it's more than a handful, I don't know, but are taking issue with the methods, the operational tactics of the Center for, Medical Progress. Because, Christians shouldn't do that. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't go undercover, misrepresent yourself. Is that, I mean, does that make sense to any rational human being out there? Is there any way to logically understand, in your mind, are you able as a Christian to look at the situation? You've got mass slaughter from Planned Parenthood, the selling of body parts, being exposed to the public at large, and it's bad enough that the mainstream media, they misrepresent and tank everything.
To the point they're even photoshopping Hillary Clinton rallies.
Yes.
There's a media photoshops crowd image for Hillary Clinton in St. Petersburg, Florida speech. And it says, remember the discussion of optics and trying to manufacture the perception of support for Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
It's all a pretense, a fraud, a corporate media ruse. There was a great example today from The Hill, an online media outlet, promoting the speech of candidate Clinton that she held in Florida. The problem is the photo was 100% photoshopped, assembled by multiple rally crowd pictures to give the impression of Hillary Clinton in St. Petersburg. And she held a rally at the St. Pete Coliseum in downtown St. Petersburg on 4th Avenue in Florida. And the Coliseum venue holds approximately 4,000 people. She didn't even come close to filling it. They put up fences and gates, and there's footage. A couple hundred people showed up at the door in St. Petersburg, Florida, when the seating held in excess of 4,000 people. But the media, in the land of make-believe, had to manufacture and make it look like there was, you know, 1,000 people there. While on the other hand, you have Donald Trump gathering, you know, 6,000-7,000 people to events and fire marshals stepping in and shutting them down at 1,000 people. And he's filling stadiums. She can't even fill high school gymnasiums. But that's not stopping the media from, you know, photoshopping these things. And as journalists, they should be honest. I mean, is it come to the point where each and every photo or video of something that happens is now has to come into question? Is it some kind of computer-generated effect, or is it some kind of Hollywood production that's being sold to us instead of the truth of what happened? Because that line of reality and perception, reality, perception, and Hollywood-like fakeness has been blurred so much that we really can't tell the difference, not from a TV screen, not from a computer screen, not unless you're there in real life. Will you be able to see it with your own eyes? And at that point, yes, you don't believe any of what you hear and only half of what you see.
And you can watch, and one of the best places, I believe, to watch this take place in real time is on the social networking feed Twitter. If you're on the right feed, for example, and you see Hillary, Diane Rodemovich, Clinton giving a speech, you can pick up some of the images from Twitter. What is that add-on to Twitter? Is it Instagram or what, the picture part of that? I don't know, but it's on
Instagram's
Twitter.
Used a lot.
You can tell. For example, the media is actually compensating for the lack of people at the Clinton rallies, as you say. So this is the new reality. And again, going back to the topic or the name of this broadcast, it's not going to happen the way you think. We are already. And this is my belief, Joe, and feel free to comment on this, but I believe we have already turned the corner and we are a third world nation, a banana republic under the Mac Daddy, words that hold significance as stated by Reverend James David Manning, the Mac Daddy of them all, Barry Satoru, or Barack Hussein Obama II. And as we come back in the next segment, I want to take a closer look at something because I think this is extremely important. I don't know how many people have read Hillary Diane Rodemovich Clinton's senior thesis from May 2nd, 1969 about Saul Alinsky. That answers a lot of questions as to what her intent would be if she's installed. But here's the issue is I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the media massaging the facts. We're looking at this together. Joe's doing a lot of research and seeing a lot of things that are taking place that are very disconcerting. I'm looking at it and saying, wait a minute. Everything is wrong here. But when you take a step back and look at the entirety of this, you've got two presidential candidates hated by many, both of them hated. You've got Hillary hated for usurping Sanders, stealing the nomination from Sanders. And you've got, and hated for a number of other things on the left. But you also have Hillary despised from people on the right. And then you've got Donald Trump in the same boat, but for different reasons. Hated, really hated on by the left for obvious reasons, but hated even almost equally by the neocons, establishment Republicans and their pundits, their bootlicking pundits. You know, Billy Crystal, for crying out loud. I look at that guy, and he's about a quart low of testosterone. Okay, And don't get me started there, but so you've got two candidates who are despised by elements, by groups on both sides of the aisle. And now the mainstream media painting both as not just fragile, but potentially incompetent, and painting the picture that maybe neither one will be running, could be running, could fulfill. So what does that mean? Does it mean that there could be a change, a last-minute change in the scorecard? Has it ever happened before? And if so, what were the circumstances? Could it be that we could have one or both drop out? I don't think that's the case with Trump. Hillary, I'm not so sure. But I don't think that's the case with Trump. I think Trump faces a danger much more severe and nefarious in nature from outside forces. Whereas Hillary, those are from her own doing, and I think there are legitimate physical and mental issues on her side that the left, progressive left, and the communists are going to try to cover up, and if they can't, certainly replace her. Or maybe this will be Obama's third term.
Do you see what he said about being forced out?
No.
I'm not quitting. I'm being forced out.
Well, of course.
The president said.
Yeah, it's called something called the Constitution. I don't know if you have got a copy there, Barry, but, you know.
Well, he was asked about the future of his golf game by the Golf Channel's David Faraday in an interview that took place just before he played his 300th game
of
golf.
Yeah, 300 games. I haven't played 300 games. I mean, are you serious? 300 games of golf? Okay. Eric the Tech is speaking. Can you hear?
It's once every 9 or 10 days for a golf game. See, Greg Jackson has a theory about this. He doesn't think he's really playing golf.
But what's he doing? Is he with Reggie Love?
We're going to have to ask him when he comes on.
Doing the tango or what?
And Obama, just before playing his 300th game of golf, said, "I'm not a hack. I'm not quitting my job," he explained.
Well, I mean,
actually, you are quitting your job, Faraday pointed out. Well, then I may get good, Obama replied, grinning before adding, "I'm being forced out. I didn't quit."
Now, my question is this going to be before or after the Red Wedding? Oh, you didn't hear about that, folks? Come on. Sure you did. National Press Club dinner, his last one, making reference to a red wedding.
And we dropped the mic.
Yeah. Then what did he do? He went like this mm-hmm. with the mic?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. If people can't see what's happening here, the in-your-face, just like we played the clip from the State Department, in-your-face, we're laughing at you. We're not laughing with you, but we're laughing at you. Obama is saying, you know, hey, now's the time for the red wedding, paraphrasing, of course. But the reference, of course, is to the mass slaughter of not just the mass slaughter, period, a mass slaughter. As referenced by the Red Wedding. And then you've got the obscure oblique references. I shouldn't say obscure, but the oblique references to staying on. Yeah. If it wasn't for that pesky Constitution. And notice how he's even become more verbose and in your face of late. By the way, I like this. I like this. You guys get into this music? I mean, this to me, see, this is a creation of Eric the Tech with the creative evangelical assistance of JD and, of course, I don't know. It's just nice, isn't it? It's a way to kind of makes you want to get your groove on. Get your groove on. What am I saying? When we come back, more. Hey, what about May 2nd, 1969. There's only the fight, an analysis of the Alinsky model by Hillary Diane Rodham, the Witch Clinton. Stay with us.